This podcast is brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Inside Rutgers Athletics podcast. This is Jimmy Gill. We're here with Rutgers baseball head coach Steve Owens for his weekly update. Scarlet Knights went 1-2 against Penn State this last weekend, falling 1-0 on Friday, 5-1 on Saturday, and coming back for a 6-4 victory on Sunday. So, Coach, it was a very low-scoring, pitcher-dominated series. What were your takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a perfect weekend for us by any means. Friday, I thought, we pitched and played and hit a very, very good game, and we had nothing to show for it. One of those games that happens every now and then where you feel like you played at a very high level in all aspects and didn't get anything, didn't get anything on the scoreboard for it. Saturday, we were beat by their pitcher. They got off to an early start, and we really weren't able to get much going. And Sunday was kind of headed in the same direction. We put together a big inning and had six or seven good at bats in a row, and that was enough to come back and salvage the weekend and keep us in a pretty good spot.
So Rutgers currently 9-8. So going back to the Friday game, a pitcher's duel, it was a very chilly afternoon at Baton Field. It was Harry Rutkowski versus Bailey D. So Harry has really been on a good run of recent six innings, no earned runs against Ohio State. He went 8 1/3 innings against Purdue, and then 8 innings, just one run allowed against Penn State. What has allowed Harry to get on a roll, and what have been the keys to his success?
He's just been really aggressive. He's been ahead in counts. He's had weak contact. He's striking out, quite a few guys, and he's not walking anybody. So, you put those things together, pitching ahead with good, already having good quality pitches and good stuff, being a left-handed experienced Friday guy. And, he's been able to go on a pretty good string here of pitching long into games by keeping his pitch count relatively low and just doing a really good job. I think he didn't walk anyone and again went, eight innings into the game and, just gave up one hit that literally, I think we got a glove on in center field and bounced over the fence for a home run. And we didn't give him any, we didn't get any across the board for him. So, kind of a tough outing to stomach a loss in when you pitch maybe the best game of the year.
So off the field, I guess, how would you describe Harry's work ethic and his leadership within the pitching staff?
Well, he leads by example. He works hard in the weight room. He works hard with his conditioning. He's physical and strong and very competitive and just a complete player and an experienced player. And so some guys lead by talking and Harry kind of leads by just, being the first guy to do something that needs to be done every day and then taking the ball on Friday, pitching the hardest game.
Yeah. So you mentioned he did have plenty of chances there, 11 men left on base in that Friday game. Was that just a case of, some days it just doesn't go your way?
Yeah. I mean, we hit a bunch of rockets all over the field. They caught them all. We didn't score any runs. We had scoring opportunities in every single inning. If one of those balls falls in, maybe we have a chance to score, put a crooked number up and win the game. And didn't happen. They made a lot of good plays and it was just one of those games that went by quickly and we were on the short end of it.
And then moving to Saturday, Penn State did score three runs in the first inning. Tough to come back from, or just what did you see in that game?
Well, I mean, their pitcher was really good. He dictated the tempo of that game as well as, he was really fired up and he was pitching very well. We didn't get a whole lot going. We did get some scoring things going, but not enough. And we got behind early and that gives the starting pitcher a little bit more freedom, especially coming off kind of a dramatic win, to really get after the other team. And that's kind of what happened. I wouldn't say we were flat. I was just saying, we didn't string together quality at bats like we have been all year.
Yeah, so you've mentioned this previously before, just how in the Big Ten and across the nation this year, just every team's going to have a really good starting pitching and depth. Is that just something that's coming to fruition that you're seeing each week?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't faced the bad guy yet, so, and we're not going to. You just got to be up for it every day and some days, you know, it's going to happen, and other days it isn't. And, you know, I think we just kind of ran into a really hot team that did things really well. And, you know, sometimes that happens when you play a lot of games.
And then moving to Sunday, Penn State did jump out to a 4-0 lead, and their pitcher, Kyle Verbisky, did get into a nice groove. But I think you mentioned after the game how the bullpen really just held it there at 4-0. The bullpen went 13 innings in the series and only allowed one earned run.
Yeah, our bullpen pitched, you know, 12 innings in the last 2 days, one inning on Friday. And they did a really good job of keeping us, you know, in the game and not letting things get out of hand and giving us an opportunity to put some runs on the board and win the game. And that's what happened on Sunday. So I'm pleased, you know, we were able to use quite a few guys. They all did their job, they kept the game in the balance. And then we were able to come back and win one of those games, which is a credit to the bullpen when you get a short start. The other thing, you know, I think our relief pitchers struck out more batters than our starting pitchers did on the weekend, which is the first time that's happened. And, you know, kind of impressively, you know, when you look back on a weekend, you know, where you weren't as successful as you had hoped to be, we struck out 27 Penn State batters and walked 4. You know, it's pretty good numbers. And the difference in the game was obviously balls that went over the fence and a few extra base hits.
Yeah, so one of the things about this season that there's no midweek game. So, you know, some last week the starting pitchers ended up doing really good going deep into the game, so guys weren't getting into the game from the bullpen. So how have they been able to stay ready?
Well, we throw them in the middle of the week to live to batters, gets our hitters, you know, another at-bat or two with their eyes, and it gets the pitchers on the mounds. And we put some base runners out there and kind of put them in some tough spots and, you know, let them rip off 25 pitches and try to keep them sharp. And then if they pitched a lot on the weekend, we would monitor that and alter it and just maybe have a bullpen on Wednesday. If they didn't pitch much, we'll let them pitch a little bit on Tuesday to hitters. And that helps, you know, keep the rest of our hitters that haven't had a lot of at-bats sharp as well.
So then that bottom of the eighth inning, the offense broke out with 6 runs. It started with a Richie Schiekhofer single, ended up being bases loaded. Grant Shulman and Chris Breida both fell behind 0-2 in their at-bats. What did you see for them to able to work a walk in those big pressure situations?
Well, it was, you know, we got something going finally. Josh walked after Richie's single. And then, you know, we had, you know, a couple more walks in a row there, which was great. They just kind of really bared down in a really tough spot and was able to get the count, you know, to a full count and then not chase a pitch that was out of the strike zone and take the walk. So we got 2 RBI walks there. And then, you know, and then Jordan Sweeney comes up and, you know, hits the first pitch over the center field fence. And that was it, you know, that we scored 6 runs really quick. So excellent at bats, you know, that inning to create the scoring opportunities, because we could have tied the game with a single. We didn't need a grand slam. So there were some good at bats and some quality at bats, you know, put on their relief pitching. And then we were able to execute a big hit, which has been happening with our club the whole year. Like, we can hit the long ball.
Yeah, and so Jordan Sweeney, he ended up going 7-for-12 in the series with 4 extra base hits. That was a first pitch grand slam, ended up being the difference there in the Sunday game. So Jordan, you know, he got a little bit of playing time last year, showed some flashes, but then it looks like he really took a step up this year.
Yeah, I mean, let's go back 2 weeks ago when, you know, the Ohio State closer hit him in the face with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. We weren't sure Jordan was going to be around to play. And not only, I mean, just to show you the toughness of this kid, you know, he played the next weekend with a plastic mask on his face and a metal cage over it and still did well. And, you know, he's a little feeling better now and a little more comfortable, still playing with the protection, but, you know, had a super weekend for us. And yes, he's maturing. He's a very coachable young man, very humble, works hard. He's big and strong. Like when the ball hits his bat, it goes fast. And he's improved his defense, and, you know, again, just a joy to be around. And, you know, when you look at the lineup of guys that have been playing for us, we're very young club offensively, or positionally, you know, with as many as 6 or 7, you know, eligibility, whether they're true freshmen or COVID freshmen, in the lineup at a given time. So, you know, Jordan was able to benefit from a few at bats last year, and he had worked his way into the mix in the DH spot. But obviously this year he's an everyday position player, and we look forward to his maturation and growth for the next 3 years.
Yeah, so Jordan is up to 6 homers, 22 RBIs on the season. So looking ahead now to this week, it's back on the road to face Northwestern. Northwestern is 10-8. They actually lead the Big Ten with 36 homers. They're averaging 2 home runs a game. Is that going to be something as far as the pitching staff that raises your attention when you see the stat sheet?
Well, we know that they're a good offense. They might lead the conference in batting average as well, too. So they've hung in there and scored runs, you know, the whole year. You know, we're starting to look at their stuff right now, and we'll do some study in the next couple of days during our preparation. But we know they're an offensive team, and they can score some runs. And I think, you know, the thing that's catchy is they have like 5 guys with 5 home runs, you know, so there's some depth to that power. It's not all pointed to 1 or 2 guys that you can maybe pitch carefully and pitch around. That's the thing that's a little bit scary about them, you know, without looking at their hitters yet on film. They have 4 with high numbers of home runs. So they're a good club. They're well coached. They're looking forward to, you know, preparing and then getting a chance to go out there in Chicago.
So this would be another road trip. Just behind the scenes, I guess, how have road trips changed this year as far as the way the team is traveling?
Well, you know, we travel, we eat breakfast or lunch, whether, you know, depending on the time that we're leaving after class, kind of spread out in the basketball center. Then we load the bus and then we put our mask on and ride to the airport, whatever airport we use, whether it be Philly or Newark or LaGuardia. And then, you know, the kids put a different mask on, an N95 mask, which is really difficult to breathe out of, but it provides us the greatest protection. And they keep it on, you know, from the minute we enter the airport all the way, you know, if we have connecting flights or whatever, all the way until we wind up, you know, landing and then getting back outside the airport on the other end. Some weeks it's 8 hours, some weeks it's 2, some weeks it's 3. But it requires a lot of discipline. And, you know, so we're proud of the guys for being able to hang in there with that. And then they put a different mask on, get on our 2 buses where we really can't even communicate with the whole team at once. We have a seating chart. You know, half the coaches are on one, half the coaches are on another. You know, kids that have had COVID are separated from kids who haven't had COVID. It's really kind of crazy. And then they, you know, when we get to the hotel, they're in their own room. That's a Rutgers policy for athletics to try to safeguard us as best as we could. And so you're kind of in your own room, like you were an only child growing up, or you don't have anyone to talk to. Our meetings are somewhat, you know, somewhat difficult as well, because we have to have a big enough meeting space for our athletic trainer to tell us exactly how many people we can socially distance in a meeting space as well as an eating space. So a lot of the meals are, we don't go to restaurants. The meals are brought in. The kids pick them up and then they bring them to their room. So they're pretty isolated, you know, and that's the thing that, you know, as a team and a team that's trying to grow in a program, you know, the interaction between the players and the coaches and becoming as close as you can, it kind of hinders it. You know, it makes it kind of miserable, but we're just excited to be able to play. And that's the first priority. And so all of these precautions have been put in, not because that's how we want to operate, but because that's the best way to keep us going and to try to minimize any issues. So the kids understand it and have bought into it. Again, I just feel, you know, you want to hug the kids and you want to be able to meet together and celebrate things and talk. And it's just a little different this year. You know, it's kind of impersonal and you're always thinking about something before you do it. You can't just really act in a natural fashion. So I feel bad for all college kids, you know, right now, let alone athletes, just that they have lost kind of 2 years of their life of a really fun and special time where they grow and they mature and they socialize and they, you know, they learn things and explore and, you know, they make a lot of mistakes and they learn a lot of stuff about themselves. And, they just have kind of missed out on some of those things that we can't get back. But hopefully, next year is a normal year for these 18 to 21 year olds, and they can get back to, having the best time of their life, because it goes by pretty quick.
And lastly, you mentioned athletic trainer Ryan Pelly. He does a great job with the team. Just can you just give us behind the scenes of what impact he has with the program?
Yeah, he's our, he's with us 24/7, which is really important for our program. As you know, injuries are a major part of a squad, especially, an expanded squad with, 38 players on it. Rehabbing and staying in front of, any issues, and coordinating all the testing that we've, have to do three times a week. Setting up doctor's appointments, for on-campus and off-campus things, dealing with the COVID protocols, if there was a positive throughout the course of the year, setting up the initial appointments, getting the insurance all taken care of. As you know, here at Rutgers and in the Big Ten, we there's several protocols to go through to get cleared, and it could take a long time, based on how things are backed up. But the kids need an echo, an EKG, blood work to be cleared by a cardiologist, and they also need a cardiac MRI. So that's a lot of stuff to get done after they get through the 10-day period. And then, that has to get professionally read and signed off that there's no issues. And then we got to get the kids back to, being back in playing shape. So Ryan has been very busy, way more busy than a normal year. We're very appreciative of his efforts, as our players are. And he's a huge resource for us. Like, as an athletic trainer, you wouldn't think that you would be in charge of telling us, whether we can work out on a treadmill if there's no one in the room, or if things are spaced out enough, or if we can, how many people we can put in a breakfast room to eat breakfast. So he's got a lot of additional things on his plate. It's been a tough year, and we're only about 36% of the way through our season. So he's got a lot more grind to go, and hopefully he has less issues to deal with instead of more.
Yeah, hopefully, for sure. So Rutgers will be out at Northwestern this weekend. It'll be Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, and then Saturday 2 p.m. Eastern, and last game will be Sunday 1 p.m. One game each day, Rutgers versus Northwestern. All three games will be on Big Ten Network Plus. So, Coach, thanks for your time.
Hey, Jim, thanks. Thanks a lot. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. And thanks for listening to another edition of the Inside Rutgers Athletics Podcast.